I'm preaching on end times. So I hope you don't have any rotten tomatoes at the back, because it's really not the most inspiring sermon you could think of. David, could you give me a hand? Could you start at that end and just put them up there and go to that end? That one first. Yeah, that's it. No, the other end. Put up there, yeah.
It'll block you in. You want a doorway left in the middle?
No, that's all right. I can jump over there. I'm a young fella. Now, you're probably all aware what's actually happening in Ukraine. You're probably all aware. Now, all week at work, everyone's been asking me questions. And one question I got quite often, well, I got twice, was, is the jab the mark of the beast? I thought, oh, well, I started laughing anyway, but then So people can be living in fear. Another question that I asked was, is this Armageddon? This war in Ukraine, is this Armageddon? And the answer is no, it's not Armageddon at all. It's sort of wars and rumors of wars, as the Bible says. But we are in the last days. Don't fool yourself. Now, as the Bible says, Sodom and Gomorrah, all of a sudden, bang, sudden destruction. The flood with Noah, all of a sudden, sudden destruction. Tower of Babel, people got scattered. When you're thinking of Almighty God, sometimes you've got to expect the unexpected. Like all over the years, From creation, there's been wars. There's been disasters. We've had a pretty free run lately, but things are going to change in the very near future. Unfortunately, I preached this sermon 20 years ago, and it actually didn't go down very well. And I preached it first about 30 years ago in Hyde Park, AOG, and it didn't actually go down well. And so this is the third time I've preached this message, and I'm just hoping it goes a bit better, because I think I've got the timing a bit better this time than what I had before. We are in the last days. It could be the last day that we know of, but we are in the last days. Now, the last day is mentioned 16 times in the Bible, 16 times. The last days is mentioned 8 times in the Bible. Now you say, well, why is it mentioned that many times? I'll tell you why, because it's important. If it's not important, God wouldn't mention it. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a scripture and just leave it in your mind, and we're going to get back to it later on today. How long have I got? 10:57. How long do I go for? Do you normally go for, Dave? 5 minutes? Oh, 35. Okay, well, that sounds pretty good to me. The first thing it says, okay, it tells you about all these disasters. We're talking about Matthew 24. I'm moving on to 6. It tells you about all these disasters that are about to happen on the earth. I won't go through all of it because we've got about 24 hours teaching here. So all I'm going to do is a little bit of this, a little bit of that, just to give somebody a picture of what is about to happen. Okay, it's you go to Matthew 24, 6, it says, see that you are not troubled. So the first thing it says is, see that you are not troubled. Now you're thinking, we've got all these disasters that are going to happen, and it tells you in Revelation, and then it says, Jesus says, see that you are not troubled. You think, well, that doesn't make sense. I'll tell you why it does make sense, because we're not going to be there. We're not going to be there. The Bible is quite clear that when the tribulation starts, we are not going to be there. Now, you get people that say, well, what about this scripture, Tom? What about this scripture? What about this scripture? Well, you can make Revelation say what you want. You can say, you can get this scripture and say this, and you've got to say this. It takes a lot of study to get the right sort of, the right direction that it's saying. You know, God is a God of love. We are not appointed to go unto wrath. We're not appointed. That's not what God wants for us. See that you are not troubled, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be a famines, pestilences, pestilence, that's COVID, that's pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning. Now, the beginning has started. It has started right now. Now, God does things in time frames. They're appointed times of the Lord, which in the Bible is called dispensations. And there's one time, then it gets cut off. Then the next ever starts, it gets cut off. Then the next gets cut off. Now, of course, in the beginning, you have creation. You have the fall of man, creation. We're aware of that. Then you've got your conscience. You've got 1,650 years. That was a disaster. That's why God had to have the flood. Man was violent. He was evil. So that got wiped out. Then we had the civil government, Tower of Babel. They started worshipping the stars. So God had to chop that out and send everybody around. So he's chop out, chop out, chop out. Then you got the promise. The promise of the Messiah, the promise of the land to come, the new heaven, the new earth. Then you've got the law of Israel, because people were running amok. So we had the law, so, you know, keep to this. Then you have the age of grace. Now, the best age to live in the Bible is the age of grace. We're living in the age of grace. We are so blessed. The age of grace. We are not subject to the law. We do not have the curse of the law. We have been set free from the curse of the law by Jesus Christ. And then we are right here. If you can see that, our time is right here. Seconds away. Then we have the rapture of the church. Then we have the tribulation. Then you have a thousand-year reign, the second coming and the thousand-year reign. Now, I'll leave them there for a while, and I'll just run over them. Now, each one of these is a sermon. So I'm just giving you a basic look, a basic idea of what it is. Okay, now, I've had this said to me before. I've said, well, you're taking everything out of the authority of the Bible, Tom. How do you know the Bible's right? I thought, well, good question. How do I know the Bible is right? Well, you can't prove the Bible wrong. Many have tried over the years to prove the Bible wrong. And you know what happens? 90% of the time, they end up getting saved. They end up becoming a Christian because you can't prove the Bible wrong. Many have tried. What does the Bible consist of? Who wrote the Bible? A lot of people say, well, who wrote the Bible? You know, the Bible consists of, if you've been to Bible college, you probably already know this, but the Bible consists of old manuscripts. Some of them copies of copies, some of them original. You know, you've got 4,000 Greek, you've got mainly in the New Testament, or all in the New Testament. Then you've got the Old Testament, you've got your Hebrew, you've got your Aramaic. OK, can't say that word. You've got 9,000 copies of that. They've all been put together, and you've probably heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which confirm some of the original curse. Now, text. Now, the Bible is full of prophecy, 28% prophecy. It even says way back here, well, way back here somewhere, that Jesus is going to be born. It actually even says the town that he's going to be born. It actually says that he's going to die on a cross. This is thousands of years before Jesus. It tells you everything, you know. It pinpoint accuracy back. Someone said to me at work, they said, oh, what about Nostradamus' prophecies? I says, hang on. Nostradamus had 3,500 prophecies. 130 of them have come true. I says, do you want to know 100% prophecy? Read the Bible, 100%. Okay, now you get the Old Testament. You've got mainly the law. When people think of the Old Testament, they mainly think of the law. You've got history. It's a history lesson. It tells you exactly what happened. Poetry. Now, a lot of it is written in poetry. That's how they wrote things. And then you've got prophecy. 28% of the Bible is prophecy. Now, why is 28% of the Bible prophecy? I'll tell you why. Because it is so, so important. Now, why did God prophesy all of this? The tribulation and all the suffering and all that. Why are we having the tribulation? Why is this happening? Well, you got to say, what is the purpose of the tribulation? You say, someone said, oh, well, everybody's turned their back on God and God's just making them suffer. No. When they go to hell, that's going to happen. Believe me, you don't go to hell twice. You know, once is enough, believe me. And you reckon it's bad in the tribulation, it's 10 times as bad when you get to hell, if you get there. What is the purpose and why would a loving God do this? Well, why would a loving world, okay, I'm being facetious now, why would they murder 50 million unborn children every year? Now tell me, why would they do that? If you go through the scriptures, what's the worst thing that God that you can do? Sacrifice your babies to their evil demonic gods. God hates it. And they get away with it for a while. They don't repent, then the hammer comes down. It's the same thing here with Revelation. You get away with it for so long, then the hammer comes down. You look at the world's, what is the most common swear word in this world today? It's a blaspheme. It's the name of Jesus. My Lord, my Savior. You know, and you say, well, why is God fetching this? You don't have to be too smart to work it out. You know, you got your gay marriage, and they use a nice word to make it sound right. Then they've got the Mardi Gras, the gay Mardi Gras, and then they've got marriage equality, as if it wasn't equal before. That's taken over from God, you know what I mean? What a load of twaddle. Okay, well, you know, why did this, you know? Look, I remember one guy, I had a unit in Wangara years ago, and the guy next door, he had a sore leg and he had arthritis. He was next door but one. And he said to me, he says, oh, why is a loving God got this on me and got that on me? And I says, well, you live like the devil all week, you swear, and you expect a blessing. And God is not the God that gives you that infliction. It's the devil anyway, but why would you blame God? People are quick to blame God. God looks after his children. You know, you get these dictators. You get Putin, right? He's a dictator. If you're going to pray, don't pray against the Russian people. Pray against Putin. Now, I can tell you something with Putin. I'll tell you right now. He is going to come to a sticky end. Every dictator comes to a sticky end. Okay, you can ask Stalin about that. If you've got a record of how he died, you can ask Hitler. You can ask Mussolini. They all come to a sticky, sticky, sticky end. You look at the Roman Empire. Look at all the Julius Caesars or whatever they call them. You know, they were terrible people and every one of them came to a sticky end. I'll tell you what. Putin is heading for a sticky end. Believe me. When it happens, you'll say, oh, I remember someone preaching that a little while ago. It must be a little while because it's not going to be a long while because we won't be here. Now you say, what is the purpose of the tribulation? Okay, I'll give you 8 reasons. One, God to pour his wrath out on an unbelieving world. Now the wrath is going on an unbelieving world, not a believing world. Now, sometimes when that wrath comes, people start thinking different. They start thinking different. Hang on, we're on the wrong track here. You find that people, did you know you got 11 times more chance of getting saved in jail than what you have outside of jail? Can you believe that? Okay, God pours his wrath out in an unbelieving world, not us. Okay, 2, it's the end of the church age. This cannot start till this is finished. 2,000 years. Okay, the church age started. When did the church age start? A lot of people say 2,022 years ago. No, that's wrong. It started at the death of Jesus. When Jesus was on the cross, that's when the church started, which is roughly 33 AD, 34 AD, 32. There's a bit of a discrepancy there. So, you know, we're looking at round about, in another, I think, 11 or 12 years, it'll be exactly 2,000 years for the end of the church age. That will be the end of grace. To destroy the armies of the Antichrist. You've probably heard about the Battle of Armageddon and all that happens in Revelations. I don't have time to sort of go through it, but armies that are anti-God are getting destroyed. To bind Satan and throw him and the false prophet in the lake of fire. The lake of fire. Revelations 3:10, the hour of testing and trial of testing. You're going to find that once the tribulation starts, all of the backslidden Christians, all of the Christians that got a foot in the world and a foot in the church, you know, you that are lukewarm, I will spew you out. You'll find that all of a sudden it'll hit them. Oh, gee. And they are going to get their act together. They're going to get, it's going to be hard going, but they're going to get their act together. It's very clean. The hour of trial and testing. Peter 3:9, it is God's will that everyone will come to repentance. It's God's will that you'll all be saved. Okay, number 8. The tribulation, and this is the most important thing about the tribulation. People will get saved like you will not believe. There's more people get saved in the tribulation than ever before. The Bible tells you, and some don't, and it says, and they did not repent, and they repented, and they did not repent, and they repented. Goes all the way through. The reason why we got the tribulation is people are going to hell. But when they find the tribulation, they can choose their way. They get another chance to choose the direction they go. When you're in the age of grace, you get this chance to choose the direction, to accept the Lord as your Savior. That's gone. You get another chance normally that would be the end of it, but you get another chance in the tribulation. It tells you very clearly about the middle of the tribulation, how the tribulation saints that came out of the tribulation get raptured to heaven. It's very, very, very clear. the Bible talks about, in the tribulation, it talks about a third of the sky will turn to smoke and you will not see the sun. The wind will stop. It says that a third of the fish will turn to blood. Now, blood is terminology for poison. Blood means two things in the Bible. It means life and it means poison. It says, and the water turned to blood, turned to poison. A third of the earth wiped out. It says that. And I'm thinking, cool, that's pretty serious stuff. A third of the church wiped out. Did you know that at Cherubel, when they had that disaster, did you know that the power plant, the nuclear power plant that the Russians attacked a little while ago, it's still burning, but it hasn't blown up. Do you know if that blows up, you will lose just about all of Europe? One power plant, if that blows up, you will lose all of Europe. It'll kill the immediate people. It'll poison the rest. Nothing will grow. That's one. Did you know that one U.S. submarine, one U.S. United States submarine could take out every city in China? One. They said to Boris, oh, Russians have got 390 nuclear heads. You've only got 170 and Russians got 370. Don't we need to build them up? He said, you only need half a dozen to blow the world up. What's the point of having any more? Finger on the trigger. Finger on it. That's the world we live in. The world of all it takes is one idiot with his finger on the trigger. And I'll tell you what, Putin will not do it. I'll tell you why. He's the richest man in the world. He loves his wealth. He knows once he pushes his button, he doesn't care about the people he kills. He loses his wealth. But I'll tell you what, there are going to be people after Putin that's going to make Putin look like a lamb. That's fact. Okay, now the big question is, when is this going to happen? Now the Bible says this is not going to happen until certain things happen. Certain things happen, have got to happen before the tribulation starts. The biggest question. Okay, well we're going to go through what the Bible says before this happens. I'm glad you don't have tomatoes because what I'm telling you is not inspiring, but it's the truth. And I believe God wants me to preach. I was going to preach another message, but I believe God wants me to preach this. Okay, first, the first thing that can happen before you've had thousands of years of quiet, no activity, then all of a sudden activity starts. Okay, what is the first thing to fetch in the end of the age? Israel must get its nation back. It says that. Israel must get its nation back. Because it writes it in poetry. When the fig tree, when it starts giving fruit and its twigs get tender and they get grounded, that's when they get the nation back. Okay, that's one. You've got eight things. That's one. Israel got the nation back on the 14th of May, 1948. And there's a miracle behind that, but we won't go there. Now, they got Jerusalem back in 1964. So there's this big question. Is it 1948 when they got the nation back? Or is it 1964 when they got Jerusalem? Well, I believe it's 64. Now, I could be wrong there, but I can't be. Because you'll find out shortly. The Bible says, and then the Bible tells you about everything that happens in Revelation and all the disasters. And it says, not a generation will pass away lest all these things happen. Okay. If it's 1948, that's, what's that, 2018? That's already happened. It's gone. So it can't be 1948. It's got to be 1964. Okay, you get a generation. Okay, now what is a generation? People that are alive in 1964 will see this happen. God does say, I give you 70 years. Some people believe it's 70 years. Some people believe that, no, it's people that are born before 1964 will see this happen. Well, whatever one it is, we've got no time left. Very little time left. Now, you just got to look at the world and look what's happening. We could have a war with China next week. We could have a war. You know, everything could happen. Once Iran gets nuclear capability and they're talking about doing the deal, the first thing Israel is going to do is wipe them out. Because Iran said, the first thing we do when we get a nuclear bomb is to wipe out Israel. Now, what a stupid thing to say. But they said it because they're stupid. So Israel can't let them do that. The first thing they're going to do is drop it on Israel. And they're in the throes of getting that together. Everything's coming together. Okay, the first thing that's got to happen, Israel has got to get its nation back. And then we've got one generation. 1964, we got one generation. Okay, two, the Bible says, there will be an increase in travel and knowledge. Okay. That's got to happen before the tribulation. Has there been an increase in travel and knowledge? Oh, you better believe it. Did you know, I go through my old, and because not everyone's like me, I go through my old sort of passports, and I have been overseas over 80 times. Most of them on missions trip. Some with your great pastor here, who loves me, because I'm such a great bloke. And we have so much fun. You know, this is. We go and we're in a terrible place and we don't have any comforts of anything like that. And yet we'd rather be there than a trip in the Bahamas serving the Lord. There's nothing like serving the Lord, I'll tell you. You'd agree with that, Dave, wouldn't you? And we're off again shortly, aren't we? We're off to Mumbai. We got 70 pastors coming down and we're going to preach. There's me, Dave, and Bob Vardy and two other pastors. Five have put their hand up, but we have to decide who we want to take with us. But that's getting off the track like I do quite often. Okay, so increase of travel and knowledge. Okay, 2 Timothy 4, 3 to 4, occultism. Okay, this can't happen until there's a rise in occultism. Of course there's a rise in occultism. You got your crystals, you got this, it's all over the world. Not so much in Australia, but occultism is all over the world. Look at India. Everybody's in occultism there. Okay, so they've all passed. Number four, scoffers. Okay, 2 Timothy 3, 1, 5. I love it when someone has a go at me. When they scoff, oh, I love it. I have got a loaded cannon. And when they have a scoff at me, I have got this down to an art. How can you believe in Jesus, you know? My reply is, how can you believe you came from a monkey? How come you believe you came from a little tiny germ? And that germ got smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter. You reckon you came from a monkey? You reckon evolution? Well, how come there's evolution's not happening now? Oh, there's a thousand things you can say to them. And I said, you'll be in hell 2 seconds and you'll change your mind, you know? And so scoffers, blaspheming scoffers, you always get that. Now, I've spoke to scoffers, and I love scoffers, and I've led a lot of scoffers to the Lord. I love the one-to-one. I love the one-to-one. And I'll tell you what, when you've got God on your side, you're going to dot the I's and cross the T's. I can tell you, you know what I mean? You say, Lord, show me something about this person. Give me a word of knowledge. Give them a word of knowledge. And you say, well, how come you did this? You did. It blows their mind. You say, okay. Who told me that? God, you know, the God that you don't believe in, you know, the God that you reckon I'm an idiot. Well, how come I know that? You know, word of knowledge is fantastic if you want to fetch someone to the Lord, you know. Okay, that's five. Breakdown. Okay, moral breakdown, number five. Oh, can we talk about a moral? I've already spoke about that. The moral breakdown, you know, all the blasphemes, all the abortions, all of the if it feels good, do it. I. You know? Do you know what did Satan say in heaven? I will be like the Most High. I will do this. I will do that. I want to be happy. I want to do this. I'm not hurting anyone. I. You know? God hates the I factor. The I factor leads to destruction. Six, famines, earthquakes, weather going psycho. Okay. Now, we don't hear about them, but in Africa there's a famine. There's been famines all over the world, mainly in the countries that turn their back on God. Mainly in the countries that turn their back on. Not all the time, but mainly in... There'll be famines before the tribulation. Okay. Well, there has been famines. Number seven, wars and rumors of wars. Now, is that happening? Wars and rumors of wars. Now, these are the tick boxes before the tribulation. I can tell you they've all been ticked. They've all been ticked. Okay, number eight. Okay, the word is apostrophe, which means in Greek, or is it Latin? I forget now. A falling away. And some transcriptions say a taking away. So before this starts, there has to be a falling away. Now, a falling away would obviously mean a falling away from the faith, which is actually happening. Now, it could have a double meaning too. And a taken away can mean the taken away of the church. The taken away of the church. It's quite clear. We will meet Jesus in the clouds. It says that. We will meet Jesus in the cloud. The Bible is full of prophecies. You know, what I can say is, what more can God do? What more can God do? Okay, he's warned us here, he's warned us there, he sent his prophets, he's warned us here, he's warned us here. He said, look, this is what's coming, the disaster. Get yourself on track. God can't do any more. Warning after warning after warning after warning. Now you find Israel. You know, okay, they go off the track, disaster hits. They get back on the track, blessing. They go off the track. It's hit and miss all the way through. We are off the track in this world, people. We are off the track. You say, well, what more can God do? Out of all of this, if Jesus hadn't died on the cross, you could say, what more could he do? And that's before Jesus died on the cross. What more can he do? I'll tell you what he can do. I'm just about out of time, and I haven't even started. I'll tell you what more that he can do. He can die on the cross for my sins. You know, what does a cross mean? A cross means the Roman. Okay, that cross, that is specially made for liars. That is specially made for adulterers. That is specially made for murderers. That cross is specially made for fornicators, for all sorts of deception. That cross is made for the low of the low of the low of the low of the low. What more can Jesus do? Okay. He can have the thorns in his head. Now, Isaiah says that you couldn't even his head blew up like a mushroom. You couldn't even... Yeah, Jesus did that for me. Because it's part of God's plan. It's God's will that nobody could perish. God is trying his best and his best and his best. Heaven is open for business today, you know. Heaven is always open for business. You get COVID, these shops are shut. Heaven's always open. God says, come to me, thee, you wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. God is the God of salvation. What is the most popular thing? What is on God's heart? What does God love more than anything? People, you, and you. That's what God's love is. God doesn't want you there, and he doesn't want you in hell. What more can God do? He can die on the cross. He can go through pain. Why did they put him on the cross? I'll tell you why. Because it was agony. That's why they used to kill people. And they used to sit and laugh and say, oh, he's going through agony and I'm not. Agony. The Romans couldn't think of anything worse. The Assyrians used to skin people, pull them apart. But the only problem with that is it killed them too quick. So, the cross, agony. God did that, you know, for every lie that I told. Jesus went on the cross. For every deception. When you look at the Ten Commandments, I look at all of them and I think, it's not a question of how many of them broken. It's a question of how many I've kept. And I'm thinking, boy, if I was under law, I would have got a D minus. But we're not. We're under grace. What more can God do? He's warned us. Time is short. There is no time left. Nothing. It's finished. If you're going to do something, do it now. It's the end of the road. You go up a ladder, we need to take another couple of steps up. I tell you, it is it. And this is what I say is, if ever I preach anything, you take in the meat, you spit out the bones. If there's any bones there, spit it out. I don't believe there's any bones. God is a God of love. Why we have the tribulation? Because God is a God of love. It's one more throw of the dice to get people in heaven. One more throw of the dice to get people in heaven. And then we have a 1,000-year reign, which I didn't do because I'm not talking on that because I haven't even got time to talk on this. I'm going to hand over to Dave now. And I do apologize, this is not the normal sermon you would get, but I believe it had to be said.
Praise the Lord. Warnings. Sorry, my wife's telling me to pull this thing down. Not everything. Do we know everything yet? But one thing I do want to reminisce with Tom is this. We have to be ready now for whenever it comes. I'm not of the same persuasion as Tom, but that's okay. What I do believe with Tom is this. You've got to be ready now. You and I have to be ready now. And if I've got anything stirred in my spirit is this, we can't play games as church. And the games in church is really doing what we think we should be doing, but not without the direction of God. We need the mindset of God more than ever before in this hour we're living in now. We need to hear the heartbeat of God like never before in this hour now. We need to be led by His Spirit like never before in this hour now. I don't believe I'm living in a time that is just, well, this too will pass. I don't know where this war is going to go, to be honest. Man is capable of anything. Who believes that? He is capable of anything. And what we have to do is make sure we're ready and we're right with Jesus. And above all, we have a word in our mouth to speak the good news of Jesus Christ. No matter what season I'm in, because they're just seasons. No matter what season of life I'm in, there should be a word of life coming out of me. For out of your belly shall flow what? Of what? Living waters. Living waters should come out of my belly, bringing hope and life to people that are broken, bruised, and lost. And if this world and this war is doing anything now, it'll be bringing questions about, is there a God? You and I have the answer for that. You and I have the truth of that. Am I prepared to share the truth? Because that was the Great Commission, isn't it? Go ye into all the world and what? What? Preach the good news. Preach the good news. You and I have the answer to the good news. We are in a commission with Him. to see a broken, dying, bruised people brought into wholeness, healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. And I can't say this enough. The church, this is doing this is not church. This is a meeting. Doing church is seeing people saved. And we've got to break this concept. Church is not this. This is a meeting. Church is reaching out to the broken, dying, and bruised in life, seeing them saved. And more so now in this hour we're living in, like any other hour. Who believes that? Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want God to be using me now. I want to be used now. I don't believe God is waiting for a people to say, oh, well, when I'm ready, Jesus, then you can use me. He wants to use you, warts and all. He wants to use you, faults and all. Is there anyone here that hasn't got a fault? We've all got faults. Anyone here haven't got a problem? We've all got problems. But he'll use the people with problems and faults to see people saved. Amen. What he wants to do is, will you allow him to use your mouth and your hands to reach the lost? Amen. Glory to God. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their. Anyone here that hasn't got a testimony? Not a moany. We can all moan. But the test through the moan. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to be used by God in this hour, we just got to avail ourselves to him. Amen. But we got to be like Isaiah. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me. Hallelujah. I really believe the church needs to get the burden of the Lord. The heartache of God. I really believe that. The heartache for the lost. The heartache for the broken. Not just, oh, poor thing. I mean, a genuine feeling of heart for the lost and the broken. Because if they don't come to the knowledge of Jesus, there is only one destination for them. Hell. And my God loves them so much that he'll walk with them in the hope they would turn on that path. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If your cry is this morning, here I am, Lord, use me. You just avail yourself to God right now and say, Jesus, here I am. Use me. Use me in my hour. Are we a Ruth in this hour? Were we born for such a time as this? Here I am, Lord, use me. Use me. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. I want to be used by your Spirit. God, it's not about knowing this and knowing that, and it's not about all that. It's about knowing you. Knowing the heartbeat of my God. Father, use me in this hour to be a demonstration of your love and your grace and your mercy. Use me in this hour as a mouthpiece, as a trumpet for the warnings and the things of my God, the heartbeat of my God, that we would see this harvest reap for your glory. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, we avail ourselves. Holy Spirit, come and fill us afresh. Fill me afresh. Fill me afresh, Father. That I would walk out of here emboldened by your Spirit to decree a word in season, to have a word of knowledge in the hour, to decree the truth, that the truth might make people free, that I'd be not moved, Father, by what the world's declaring and preaching, their gospel, but your gospel and your gospel alone, which is the power of God to salvation. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And if that's you, you've got to shout. Come on, give him a shout. Give him a shout. He is worthy of it all. Glory to God. Love and appreciate you. Thank you. And in these times that we're living in, please don't get caught up in the times. Get caught up in Jesus. Don't get caught up in stuff. Stuff will always want your ear. And I'm going to be really bold this morning. If we read as much and we sought the Lord as much as we listened to the stuff about COVID, masks and mandates and stuff, we'd be full of the Holy Ghost. I'm serious. Let's get our priorities right. God will look after all that stuff. Let God be God. But in the midst of it all, let us have the heartbeat of God for this dying world. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee. God bless you. Love you heaps. In Jesus' name, amen.